Well, good morning, everyone, to our worship service this morning on this lovely winter's morning. You know, we can still praise the Lord regardless of the weather, can't we? Albert was just mentioning that verse in Lamentations this morning in the prayer meeting. For Jeremiah says, "The Lord is my portion, therefore I will hope in him." And to that end, if you can say the Lord is my portion, then you are invited to follow in this morning's service to remember the steadfast love of the Lord and he's given at Jesus Christ and the taking of the bread and the wine, which will follow this morning's service. We're very grateful to Nigel Wilson for coming to minister this morning, and we appreciate very much his willingness to come. May the Lord bless you, Nigel. Do remember in your prayers Andrew Young, who's preaching in Gamery Church this morning, and Albert Sutherland, who's in Bodham Evangelical this evening. It's a privilege to be able to serve the Lord in every respect, and it's not every day you get invited out to places either. I can attest to that. Remember them as they preach as well, and of course, as the word goes out right across planet Earth today in worship of the Lord. Thank you, Alma, for providing this new sheet. This is the new sheet as per last week, but it's got a lot of information in it. And so do avail yourself of everything that's happening in the new sheet. If you haven't got one, you can get one at the door. There is Sunday school this morning as well, and Robert Finlay is speaking in the evening service tonight. But I'll hand over now to Nigel. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Norman, and it's good to be with you again this morning. And even though it's wet and miserable outside, the weather is no better in Peterhead, I'm afraid to tell you. In fact, I'd say it's worse. It's blowing a gale in Peterhead this morning. But anyway, it's good to be able to come and worship the Lord. And let's just turn to our opening hymn, please, number 451. Number 451, please. A very well-known hymn, "Jesus the Name High Over All, in Hell or Earth or Sky, Angels and men before him fall, and devils fear and fly." It's good to know that we worship one who is more powerful than any other power in the world today, even the devil. Let's just rise to sing, please.
Thank you.
that caught me off the hop, because there's only five verses in the hymn book, and there's that's a different tune as well that I'm used to. But anyway, not to worry, we got there. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we just praise you and thank you that we can sing these wonderful words. Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before him fall, and devils fear and fly. We thank you that the name of Jesus is a powerful name. We thank you, Lord, that you're not on the cross anymore. You're not in a tomb. But we thank you, Lord, that you're risen, exalted, and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We thank you, Lord, you'll come again to judge the living and the dead, and your kingdom will have no end. We thank you, dear Lord, that you love us and you care for us. We thank you that you went all the way to Calvary to suffer and to die that we might know forgiveness of sins. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have of coming to worship you this morning and to spend time in your presence and to draw nearer to yourself. Father, we just pray that every part of this service would just dovetail together for your glory and for your honor, we pray. Lord, we just commit this service into your care. And Father, if there's any here this morning who don't know you as Savior, we just pray today that you would reveal your love to them, that you'd reveal their sinfulness to them, that you'd help them to come to that point of repentance and trust in you, we ask. Lord, we just pray for this whole area of Fraserburgh. We ask, O God, that you'd minister into hearts and lives. We pray, Father, for your blessing upon this church here and upon each member. And we just ask, O God, for the minister as he's off at the moment, Robbie. We just ask, O God, that your blessing would be upon him and his family. We just pray you'd be his strength and guide in the days ahead. Father, we just look to you, Lord, to meet with us today. Minister into our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we just turn to our next hymn, please, number 460. Number 460. And again, if you can, we'll rise to sing, please.
Thank you.
If you have a Bible and you just want to follow the reading, we're just going to turn to Matthew's Gospel, please. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, and we'll just commence reading at verse 21. Matthew chapter 18, and we'll just commence reading at verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you, up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay. His masters commanded that he be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and that payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and saying, 'Pay me what you owe me.' So his fellow servants fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but he went and threw him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that they had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their masters all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' This master was angry and delivered him to the tormentors until he would pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to each of you if from your heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Just end there at verse 35. Just turn to one more hymn during which the offering will be uplifted. Number 843, please. Number 843. We'll just remain seated while the offering is uplifted. 843, please. No, sorry, 846. 846, sorry.
Thank you.
Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these gifts and tithes and gifts, Lord, and we just ask that they would be used, Lord, for the extension of your kingdom. We just pray you give wisdom to those who have the responsibility of using them. We just ask, Father God, for your blessing upon this fellowship. We think of any who are sick at the moment. We just pray that your healing hand would be upon them, that you'd touch them and you'd be with them at this time. We pray, Lord, for those who maybe would love to be here this morning, but are housebound. We just ask, Father God, that you'd minister to them and speak to them in their own hearts. And Lord, as we look at your word now in a few minutes, we just ask, oh God, that you would help me as I would open up your word. We just pray, Father, you'd speak to our hearts and teach us new things from your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to thank those of you who've been praying for us. Please continue to pray for us. One or two have been asking about my wife, Ruth. She's got the all clear from the doctors, and they're happy enough with how she's doing, and just said that the discomfort that she's experiencing after the operation is just scar tissue, and it'll take a little while to heal. So Ruth is okay, but I'd ask you to pray for Eva. Eva was at school the other day, and she was standing up on a little bench in the playground and fell and broke her elbow. So she's in a plaster cast and has to go back now on Tuesday to get a lighter cast put on. But she's doing okay. She's just a little bit, obviously a bit sore and a bit discomfort. But they took her in last Monday night and did an operation and put some wire, put it all back together, so to say. And she has to go back now and get a lighter cast on Tuesday. So just continue to pray for us and our work there in Peterhead and around that area. And the visitation around Mintlaw and other areas we're visiting at the moment. And I'm up in Gardenstown tonight taking the service there in the church, what was the Church of Scotland church there. So just pray for that service as well. We're just going to look at this passage. We're not really going to speak from this passage this morning, but I want to look this morning at the subject of forgiveness. And as we were reading through that passage there, it spoke about the man's debt, he was forgiven of his debt and so forth. But this morning I would like us to look at the subject of forgiveness. And I think many of us here this morning have been the recipients of God's forgiveness through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have had our sins forgiven. And as the scriptures say, our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west, away from us, and never to be remembered against us. That's the position that many of us find ourselves in this morning. We receive the forgiveness of God through faith in his Son. And as we look at the subject of forgiveness, the first thing we notice in Scripture is that forgiveness is a command from God. The great forgiver commands us to forgive others. We're told in Colossians 3 in verse 13, it says, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. Mark 11, 25 and verse 26 says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against another, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your transgressions. So we see there, it's a command from God. God has given us a free will to respond in forgiveness when we're hurt by others. Forgiveness is optional. However, God does command us here to forgive. The command cannot be ignored because it's God's command to each one of us. It's our Heavenly Father who is speaking in Scripture. And it's the creator of the universe, the one who forgave us, expects us to forgive others. We cannot accept the forgiveness of God and refuse to forgive our fellow man. We cannot accept God's mercy and be unmerciful to our fellow believers and to others that God has forgiven through faith in Christ. So we see from Scripture that forgiveness is a command from God. Forgiveness, secondly, is a choice. Now, that may seem like a contradiction, being a command and a choice. But God gives us the command to forgive our fellow man. But the choice is up to us. God, in his goodness and in his wisdom, has given us a free will. And some of us have use that free will to dig in our heels, so to speak. Some stubbornly say, I will never forgive that person. I cannot and I won't forgive that person for what they've done to me. If you only knew what they said about me, if you only knew what they said about my wife, my children, if you only knew the lies, the accusations, and the things that have been said about me behind my back, I cannot forgive them from the hurt they've caused my family. And for years, maybe somebody's been spreading rumors about you and your family, and you're saying, I cannot forgive them, and I will not forgive them. But today, my friend, you have a choice to make. You can go around mulling over the things that have been said and the comments that have been made. You can dwell on those remarks and those views that have been exchanged and constantly think upon those things and get more bitter as the days go by. Maybe you're saying to yourself, oh, when I see that person, they're going to get a piece of my mind. They'll be sorry they crossed me. See, that's not a Christian attitude. And that's not the attitude that Christ would want us to have. We have to make a choice. Do we hold on to bitterness, resentment, and hatred, or do we forgive others with God's help? What are you going to do? Our choice will determine our spiritual growth on a personal level, and it will determine the spiritual growth of this fellowship or any other fellowship. We must obey God's command to forgive. It says in Ephesians 4 and verse 32, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And as we look at Scripture, we see the many occasions where somebody had to forgive. We see Esau forgave his brother Jacob. We see Joseph forgave his brothers. We see David forgave Saul. And if we love God, we need to forgive others. We need to forgive others as God has forgiven us. Otherwise, we're not living in obedience to God's word. Forgiveness is a command. Forgiveness is a choice. And forgiveness, let's face it, is challenging. If we're all being honest here this morning, forgiving someone is not easy. If we're being truthful, we want the other person to suffer, to get what they deserve, as we see it. But what does Proverbs 24 and verse 29 say? Do not say, I will do to him just as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. That's not God's way. We're to forgive. In our eyes, the other person may not deserve our forgiveness, but neither did we. And yet God forgave us. God forgave us of our wickedness, of our pride, of our self-righteousness. Jesus faced a horrendous death so that we could be forgiven. Forgiveness is a challenge. It's a challenge to forgive others. We cannot do it on our own strength. It is only with God's help can we forgive. And as we seek to do God's will and to obey his commands, he will help us. Philippians 4 and verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Only God can forgive the sin that was committed against him. And only you can forgive the sin that has been committed against you. Only the one sinned against can forgive the sinner. Forgiveness starts with the admission of sin, the admission of wrongdoing against another whose forgiveness we may need to seek. We need to acknowledge that sin is ultimately against God. But sometimes some of us need to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, am I the one who's easily offended? Am I the one who's oversensitive? Am I the one who's a little bit on the touchy side, as we would say in Ireland? Am I the one who easily takes offense if somebody makes some little joke, says something in jest? Am I the one who analyzes every remark? Am I the one who feels that everyone is against me? and that we are somehow being victimized? Do we feel sometimes that our opinions are being ignored? Do we seem to go from one dispute to another? Are we the common denominator? Are we that person that never settles in any church because things are not done our way? Are we that person, and there's always something wrong with every church we attend, and moving to another church is not going to be the answer, because perhaps the problem is in here, in our hearts? Are we the problem, and are we blaming others? Are we the one who starts the dispute? Are we the one who adds fuel to the fire, so to speak? Throwing petrol on flames by some of the caustic remarks we pass. What does Romans 12 and verse 17 say? It says, "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you." So it's our responsibility, as much as depends upon us. "Live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay for it,' says the Lord." Hebrews 12 and verse 14 says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." Matthew 18 and verse 21 says, Peter said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said, "No. I do not say to you seven times, but up to 70 times seven." In other words, not to keep a record. Do we dwell in unity with our fellow believers? Or is our agenda more important? Do we need to look beyond our agenda to the greater good of the church and to witness before unbelievers? Do we sometimes feel that we are owed an apology? It is up to the other person to come and apologize to us. Why do so many disputes continue for years? Because each one of us, if we're being honest, want to defend ourselves, and our reputation before others and what people think of us is more important than the greater good of our fellowship or our walk with the Lord. We want to be boss. But it does not matter what people think of us. It does not matter. It's what God thinks. It's what God knows about us. That's what counts. Sometimes the problem can be ourself and our self-seeking and our own insecurities. Forgiveness is a challenge which we can rise to with if we but surrender to God's will and seek His help. We can forgive with God's help and God's enabling. So forgiveness is a command from God. It's a choice we need to make. It's a challenge to each one of us. Forgiveness is the commencement of a new life. Forgiveness breaks that cycle of resentment and bitterness and ill feelings and hatred and animosity. It stops that tit-for-tat sort of carry-on that goes on in some churches. That desire to tell the other person what we really think of them. That desire to put them in their place. When we forgive, it gives us a new perspective. Forgiving someone breaks the influence they have over us. It brings release. The Word of God says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." He sets us free. But it is up to us. It is up to us as individuals to be reconciled to others, if they are willing to sort out that issue. But we must recognize that not everybody is willing to forgive and move on. Some love to wallow in the mire of resentment and bitterness. And if you've tried to reconcile differences and the other party is having none of it, there's not much you can do. You just have to leave it with the Lord. I know a lady, and she's fallen out with her two sisters. And she goes back time and time again to try and resolve that issue. And you know what she's doing? She's just opening an old wound. It's been going on there for about 30 years. It's just like pulling the scab off an old wound. Just makes matters worse. And she, as a believer, is bitter. And she's resentful of her sisters because they're not unwilling to make amends. They can't find it within their heart to forgive her of some of the things she's done over the years and some of the things she's said. But the scriptures tell us it is our responsibility to be reconciled with others. Be ye reconciled one to another. We dare not let the issue drag on for years until we get to the point where we can hardly remember how it all started. Sometimes the issue starts off with something small and gets blown out of all proportion. And one word leads to another and voices are raised and unloving words are exchanged. We need to look at things in the light of eternity and look at the things in the light of the fact that we are accountable to God at the end of life. There'll never be blessing while believers are unwilling to forgive each other. It is pointless turning up at the prayer meeting with an unforgiving spirit. What is 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14? If my people which are called by my name shall turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. If my people. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 says, husbands are called to love their wives that their prayer life may not be hindered. It tells in the scriptures where the brethren dwell together in unity, there the Lord commands the blessing. And it's only there where there is unity. As we look at scriptures, the pattern for forgiveness is set down by God. God chose to forgive us, not to condemn us. God forgave us when all we deserved was eternal judgment in hell. That's all any of us deserved. He forgave us. And the forgiveness of God, as many of us have experienced, is life-changing. But let me tell you something else, my friend. The forgiveness of others is life-changing. The forgiveness of others is life-changing. God, in his mercy, sent his son to die a horrendous death on the cross of Calvary. Jesus, God's only son, willingly went to the cross to die in our place. As the hymn says, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. He bore our sin in his own body in the tree. God offers forgiveness today if you don't know him as your Savior. If you have never received him, it does not matter what you've done in the past. It does not matter how you've lived. Whether it be a rebellious life or a religious life, whether it be a self-righteous life or a sinful life, whether it be a moral life or an immoral life, God will forgive you if you will genuinely repent and turn away from that sin. Repent ye therefore in your sins, that your sins may be blotted out, it says in Acts 3:19. God in his love wants to forgive you. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. While it is essential that we as believers forgive others, the most important issue in life is to know God's forgiveness. We are all sinners and we need to know God's forgiveness. You and I need to come to recognize that our lies, our theft, our dodgy dealings, our gossip, our envy, our pride, and many other things are abhorrent in the sight of a holy God. Is there somebody here this morning and you need to seek God's forgiveness? You need to come to God today. You know within your heart of hearts that you are not ready to meet God. You need to receive the forgiveness that God will bring. The forgiveness that is life-changing. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. You can become a child of God today, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, the scriptures tell us. Will you acknowledge your sinfulness? Will you seek God's forgiveness this morning if you have never done that before? God's forgiveness is without measure. From the simplest little lie that we've told to murder can be forgiven. God's forgiveness is without measure. But maybe you're here this morning and you have been forgiven by God. But you're struggling this morning with guilt. You know God has forgiven you, but you're struggling to forgive yourself. And the old devil is bringing up your past to you. Don't let that happen. Don't let the devil, the accuser of the brethren, drag up your past. It's forgiven. It's cast away as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us. Don't allow the devil to do that. So forgiveness is a command. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is a challenge. Forgiveness is the commencement of a new life. And forgiveness is complete, praise God. When God forgives, it's complete forgiveness. When Jesus died, he died for all of our sin. All of our sin. Not just some of our sin. He doesn't just forgive us of the gross sin in our lives and ignore the little white lie or something like that. Something that we would consider as lesser sin. All sin is forgiven. No matter what the sinner has done. If we are genuinely sorry when we come to God, he will forgive us. Colossians 3 and verse 13 says, "And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of the flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Psalm 32 and verse 1 and 2, "Blessed is he whose trespasses is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Verse 2, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity." Psalm 86 verse 5, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all who call upon you." Psalm 85 verse 2, "And you have forgiven the iniquity of your people, and you have covered all their sins." Psalm 51 verse 9, "Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities." 1 John 1 and verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Forgiveness is a command, a choice, a challenge. It's the commencement of a new life. It's complete. Jesus died for all of our sin. And finally, it's costly. Forgiveness is costly. It cost Jesus his very life. It says he himself bore our sins in his own body in the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live on to righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. It cost our Lord his very life. Don't take the forgiveness of God for granted. It cost Jesus his life. It cost God his only Son. And we will never fully understand what Jesus went through as he died there on the cross of Calvary. We'll never fully grasp the pain and the agony and the torment, being forsaken by God the Father as he took our place on the cross of Calvary. In closing this morning, forgiveness is a command. Are you going to obey the command? Have you obeyed the command to forgive? Forgiveness is a choice. Are you going to make that right choice? Forgiveness is a challenge. And if you're here and you're struggling to forgive somebody, ask for God's help. Forgiveness is the commencement of a new life. As I said earlier on, the forgiveness of God is life-changing. And perhaps you've experienced that forgiveness. And you've experienced that God's forgiveness is life-changing. But have you experienced what I mentioned earlier on, that the forgiveness of others is also life-changing? Forgiveness is complete. Have you personally received God's complete forgiveness? Do you know that all your sins are forgiven? And forgiveness is costly. It cost our Savior. And if you're here this morning and you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, you don't know your sins are forgiven, don't reject God's offer of forgiveness. It cost Jesus his life that you and I might have forgiveness. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he cares for you this morning. And he wants you to repent or to turn away from your sinful life and receive that forgiveness free of charge this morning. Free to you and I, but it cost Christ his life. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you that you forgive. We thank you that you have forgiven many of us, perhaps all of us here this morning. And we know the forgiveness that we receive from you has brought a wonderful change in our lives. But Lord, if there's any here this morning and they're struggling maybe to forgive somebody else, we just pray you give them the grace and the strength to do so. We just pray you help them to make that right choice, not to hold on to resentment, to bitterness and anger or anything else, but to come and to say, Lord, I need to forgive that person. Lord, help me to forgive that person. Lord, we pray that forgiveness might reign, that unity might dwell, that blessing might come. Lord, we just leave it all before you and ask, O God, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We just turn to our closing hymn, please, number 763. Draw me nearer, nearer, O Lord. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and I told thy love to me. Let's just rise again to sing, please. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we just praise you and thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for what it teaches us. We thank you, Lord, most of all, for your forgiveness. Lord, none of us are deserving of it. There are thousands within Peterhead, Fraserburgh, and this outlying area who don't know your forgiveness today, who have never experienced your forgiveness. And yet in your mercy, you opened our eyes. You helped us to see our sinfulness. And in your mercy, Lord, you forgave us, even though we weren't deserving. And Father, if we need to forgive others, we just pray you give the grace to do so. Lord, we just pray now as we gather around this table that reminds us of your death and suffering. We just pray, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts and draw us closer to yourself, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.